From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. I'm glad you're joining us as the Reverend Ian Brown is turning our thoughts to Psalm 40 and verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That message in just a few moments after we hear some words in song.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, oh blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the mighty Prince of Peace. Of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, his name exalted more and more, whom all the saints in heaven adore, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
We've been created to sing. This explains why a nation has its national anthem, the armed forces march to the strains of martial music, a college has its alma mater, each of us has a favourite song. Good morning, I'm Ian Brown, and in our message this morning we're going to have a look at one of the greatest songs ever, recorded for us in the best and greatest book in the world, God's Holy Word. But before we get into the message, let's read a few verses from one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 40, the verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. When we come to the Bible, we find that the God of creation and redemption is the God of song. Way back in the beginning, when the universe was brought into existence, we are told in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They rejoiced over creation. And when God brought his people out of the bondage of Egypt, the children of Israel sang the song of Moses. Exodus chapter 15. One day, looking away forward in time now, when God's purposes of redemption are all complete, the people of God are going to sing the song of the Lamb in heaven. What a great day that'll be. Few in the Bible knew more about singing than the sweet psalmist of Israel, David. He testifies here in Psalm 40 in verse 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. This new song David's speaking about is centred around deliverance. In Psalm 40 in verse 2, David is saying, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. That's deliverance. David's describing, in graphic terms I might add, what it means to be delivered from the guilt and grip of sin. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. The Hebrew there means that he brought me up out of a pit of noise. And there's a lot of suggestion in that. David has in his mind those pits were dug to capture wolves or bears or lions, although occasionally thieves and robbers were also trapped this way, and the pit was shaped in such a manner that every cry for help would echo and reverberate around it. Given that description, it was certainly a pit of noise. Until we know the deliverance of God, we are haunted by the accusations of the devil, the scoffs of those who were engaged in sin alongside of us, and whenever we say we're thinking of quitting this sinful life or going to decide for Jesus Christ, then they laugh us to scorn. We are surrounded as well by the voices of our own conscience that's bitterly reproaching and condemning us. All of that adds up to a pit of noise. David got deliverance from that. It was also deliverance from the grip of sin. Psalm 40:2 carries the words, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." The bottom of those pits would have been covered with sticky sediment that stopped anything or anyone from escaping. The fact was, the more the victim struggled to get free, the deeper he sank into the miry clay. That's a wonderful picture of the gospel of Christ. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ laid aside the glory of heaven in order to save us, not only from the guilt of sin, but from the grip of sin. Now, if we are struggling about in our own strength and we are trying to save ourselves and make our own way to heaven, all we're doing is sinking deeper and deeper into trouble. But to trust the saving life and the substitutionary death of Christ is to know real deliverance. His grace was great, His mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. I love the words of Job 33, the verses 24 to 26. "Then he is gracious unto him and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favourable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness." Deliverance out of the pit results in the song of joy. Little wonder Philip P. Bliss wrote, "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell." We can't do anything other than sing if we know that we've been delivered from sin and death and hell. In the second place, consider this morning that this new song that David is talking about centres not only on deliverance, but on direction. It centres on direction. Notice that Psalm 40 in the verse 2 declares, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." The godless are often described in the Bible as lost. They don't know where they've come from, where they are, where they're going. It's completely the opposite for the Christian. He knows where he stands, and he knows where he should be going. Giving us a picture here of our position in Christ, David declares, "He hath set my feet upon a rock." Now that's pretty solid ground to occupy, the rock. It's the place of security. It's the place of sufficiency. It's the place of strength. You'll remember the words of the hymn writer, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." Tell me today, do you know anything about this assurance of abiding in Christ, of finding salvation and finding shelter in him? Psalm 40 in verse 2 also emphasizes not only our position in Christ, "He hath set my feet upon a rock," but our progress in Christ. "He established my goings," is what David says. Long before the foundation of the world was laid, the God of foreknowledge and of sovereignty planned our lives. One of the most exciting things about the Christian experience is to find, follow and finish God's plan for us by walking in the path of obedience. Now, if we live loosely and indulge in sin and folly and godless pleasure, if we allow the world and its vanities to crowd in upon us, to steal away the thoughts and the affections that we should reserve for Christ, our song to Christ will definitely fall into the minor key. Old Philip Henry said, "Joy is forbidden fruit to a backslider." He was right. It stands to sense that it'll only be those who keep close to God, who stay in the course of duty to him, who remain near the cross, who'll be able to rejoice in Jesus Christ. when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Singing this new song, it's only possible when you're travelling in the right direction. This new song that David was talking about in Psalm 40 centres around deliverance. It centres on direction. Thirdly, it centres on devotion. In verse 3, David says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord." This deliverance that he had led to direction, because once he got out of the pit, he followed the Lord. That direction led to devotion, because following the Lord, he learned more and more of God, and he began to really sing about him and praise the Lord. There's the devotion of worship here. "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." One time Bob Hope and a group of entertainers entered St. Albans Hospital, and they heard beautiful singing. They looked over and saw a badly maimed veteran from the Vietnam War pushing himself towards them in a wheelchair, using his arms, the only limbs he had left. Hope said, "We've come to sing for you, and you're singing for us." The old soldier replied, "When I stopped thinking about what I'd lost and began looking at all I've left, how can I keep from singing?" Christianity is a singing religion. Atheism, agnosticism are songless. They produce nothing to sing about. There's the devotion of worship here. "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." There's the devotion of witness as well, because David goes on to say, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Where there's worship, there's also witness. Now let's get it clear, a long face doesn't minister to anybody. The question arises, this new song, how can it begin in your life and begin in mine? David gives us the answer in the opening verse of the Psalm, Psalm 40 in verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord," he says, "and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And having inclined unto him and heard his cry, he lifted him out of the pit, and he put a new song in his mouth, and he gave him an established direction to go in, and he caused his heart to leap for joy." How do we get into this new song? Well, first there must be submission. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Until we stop struggling and start trusting, God will never hear our cry. As long as we imagine that we can save ourselves from the guilt and from the grip of sin, we are doomed to defeat and destruction. But waiting on the Lord suggests utter submission to his saviourhood and to his sovereignty. "I waited patiently for the Lord." That's submission. Then there must be supplication. "He heard my cry." And there's that fantastic assurance in the Word of God, Romans 10 verse 13, for example, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now let me say to you today, you can cry right now, and you can know this song of deliverance, this song of direction, this song of devotion. It's my prayer and my earnest desire that today you'll be singing about this new life in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.